Welcome to the Fantasy 40 Podcast. Welcome to the Fantasy 40. We are back. Myself, Andrew Burke, John DeBari, and Matt Walker. We have another guest, another expert, Mr. Jeremy Funk. How you doing, bud?
Oh, there's quotations around that experts, right? I'm not an expert. I'm just here. Hey,
man. I just try to call him like I see him, man. We had you on earlier. I think it was, August, September? Right when the 40 started, man. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. It's been fun to watch you guys progress throughout the offseason and start to cover some teams. So I'm excited to be here and talk a little football with you guys.
Yeah, I thought you were going to bury the lead with the returning guest. I mean, you were, you know, blowing a little smoke off his ass early with the expert thing, but at least give him his kudos for dealing with us twice.
Yeah, I mean, usually we have to pay guys to come back, so thanks for not charging
hold
us.
Hold on. Let's touch back on that later. I didn't know that there was money involved in that.
I put my foot in my mouth there.
It's not money. Andrew will send you some shitty football card he's collected.
It's like Bitcoin, you know, per download.
That's no, Shane kicked me two of those piggy bucks or whatever.
Piggy bucks, yeah.
I'll kick those back, put them in circulation. But what we're doing today is, like Jeremy said, we're covering some teams, and today we are covering Jeremy's Indianapolis Colts. They definitely had a down year last year. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with Andrew Luck's injury, but there was quite a few players that underperformed. But let's get to a couple guys that you think might have kind of overperformed for the Colts last year.
Well, first and foremost, I think as easy as Frank Gore. You know, Chuck Pagano came out towards the end of the year last year and said that we're just going to force feed Gore until he gets his records. So that really kind of put a hamper on the development of Marlon Mack. I think somebody like Jack Doyle was propped up. Jacoby Brissett was asked to come in mid-season and take over an offense. He just was always peppering those short intermediate routes. So I would probably say Doyle and Gore were probably the two low-hanging fruit there.
Yeah, I wrote Doyle. I mean, Gore, interestingly enough, you know, over 14,000 yards in 13 seasons. I mean, Christ almighty with that guy, but it was a little tough to watch. I'm not even a Colts fan, but at the end of the year, I mean, it was clear that there was really no desire to try to win games. It was kind of full speed ahead, get Gore some reps, don't let Mack get developed, pepper Doyle with targets, and maybe look T.Y.'s way a little bit. It was just it was tough sledding for the Colts.
Yeah, and you know, someone like Dante Moncrief, who struggled with a bit of injuries all year. Just kind of, you know, week 12, he was healthy. They removed him from the injury report, and he just didn't play. So it was just kind of like, you know, I think it was well planned that they weren't going to be a contender this year. And I think they just kind of bought into that mindset. So, it wasn't really a big surprise to see a lot of these guys leave, like Moncrief. I think that, you know, if he can be healthy in Jacksonville, I think he's a good supplement for what they've lost in Aaron Rodgers. Whoa.
Well, listen, that's a whole new ball game in the playoffs.
Jacksonville suddenly a favorite.
Okay. Robinson. Yeah.
No. I mean, I didn't hear much about Jacoby Brissett. You don't think he kind of, I know he was, you know, hit or miss in some games. I thought he had a decent enough year to say he overperformed, you know, from what we expected from him.
For me, for a guy who comes in, you know, at the quarterback position with not having a full offseason with the team and all that, you know, I thought he played great given the circumstances. I was actually blown away because I didn't think he was that good the few times the Patriots tried him out there. I was actually really impressed. And like, if Andrew Luck is screwed and we never see him again because he can't throw a football, I don't think Brissett is, I mean, the worst thing ever for them for the next couple of years. He's obviously not on the level that Luck is, but I was really impressed actually.
I mean, that's I mean, Brissett's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he acquitted himself pretty well, but he's a backup. You know, all being equal, in my opinion. So I think the Colts don't want that statement to be correct. They don't want him starting another game if possible.
Yeah. I mean, fantasy-wise, is he going to be relevant next year? If Luck doesn't come back, are they going to roll with Brissett, you think? Or are they going to – I don't know where the Colts are at, really. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead into the draft, but do you think they kind of stick with Brissett in that number two spot?
I don't think Brissett matters, to be completely honest with you. There was a report out today through the Colts website. Andrew Luck's attending April camp. He did a full interview back late December explaining where he was in the Netherlands and what he was doing. Essentially decided to, you know, leave the facility because he was being a distraction. Everybody was talking about him. Didn't feel comfortable there. Claimed that he went to train with a trainer who he had been with at Stanford and didn't receive any treatments or injections. So that part I don't know if I believe fully. But I honestly, I'm not preparing for Brissett to be anything other than the backup. I think there is a strong signal sent to subliminal signal sent to everybody that Andrew Luck's going to be there, because why would they move down from three if they intended on drafting a quarterback? It doesn't make much logical sense. And if Luck never plays again, which I give it about a, you know, a 15% chance that he doesn't play again.
That's higher than I would have thought.
I mean, it's pretty as high as it should be. You know, I don't think historically there's ever been this injury has never led to somebody never playing again. So it would be hard for me to really believe that, you know, that's a 50-50 shot that he would never come back. I think that's just – it's just been blown so far out of proportion that it's starting to enter laughably ridiculous at this point, in my opinion.
Well, it's because of the way they handled it last year, and Irsay, and just lying about everything. Yeah. You know, it's like you can't believe them. I mean, you'd be a fool to just blindly believe what they're putting out there now. I mean, yeah, Andrew Luck wants to get out in front of it. You know, he wants to play, but I was convinced he was playing last year. I mean, that's literally how strong they were about it. That I'm like, oh, well, he's just going to miss the preseason. He'll be out there. You know, maybe they pup him, but he'll be out there after for a couple weeks. And then it was, nope, we're going to linger. And then finally, yeah, well, IR him whatever week they did. It was insane how they handled it. I mean,
yeah.
Very unpopular.
And I always tell people I think it's more political than anything. Indianapolis, when we found out that Manning was going to be out for the rest of the season, attendance dropped so low from season ticket holders that I think they panicked and didn't want to see the same thing happen again. So Colin Coward, who I know a lot of people don't like, but he called it in like week two that he was going to be put on the PUP list. And then right after he was going to start throwing, then have a setback, then they're going to throw in the towel saying that like, oh, the season's lost. We might as well not start him. And it was, you know, is verbatim of what happened. So I just think there's a lot of logical underlying reasons that all this played out. And I think dynasty wise, to bring it back to fantasy football, I've been acquiring a lot of Luck shares just because I think there would be sheer panic in that organization if Andrew Luck wasn't ever to play again.
Yeah, I like that. And I have him in some dynasty, and I've, you know, got lucky with some later round picks. They bought me a year, but you know, when I took Luck, I was like, man, I'm set. You know, I got 6, 8 or more years of high end QB1 play at my disposal. And then for him to lose an entire year of his prime, that hurts a little bit. And let's just double back to Colin Coward, total asshole. You know, he laid into the Eagles about being terrible fans, and he's an asshole, and his opinions are terrible. Dog.
Are you an Eagles fan?
Yeah, season ticket holder.
So,
such pride.
Oh man.
So yeah. So I mean, it would make sense that an asshole couldn't tell that he was the asshole. So
Just wanted to put that out there to the followers we have. Don't follow us if you like Colin Kaepernick.
I'm glad you didn't bring up the good material. We might get back into that later, but
six episodes in a row.
Yeah, it will be. I thought that's where you're going, but I'm kind of happy you didn't yet. I'm going to probably second thing I kind of want to talk about. I mean, you could go on and on about it, but was there someone that was expected to do well besides, you know, Moncrief, who was injured, that, you know, underperformed on the Colts? No, I mean,
I think they performed about how we'd expect them to.
Right.
I think T.Y. maybe, but I can't really blame the guy for what was going on around him. I think he kind of checked out as well. He just didn't look like he was all there either. So I don't know. It's kind of, I think the whole team underperformed. It's just, I don't know.
I mean, with the whole season, I think Luck's the easy answer. But don't you think Marlon Mack underperformed a little bit? I mean, he wasn't featured at all, but I mean, he had, what, 114 touches. I mean, the explosion that they said he was going to bring to the table. And I mean, averaged 3.8 yards per carry. You know, decent 10.7 receiving, but I felt like he underperformed. The team sucked, but
you didn't watch him play, did you?
Sporadically. I mean, he's the king of the negative gain. You know, it's all.
Not really. Yeah. So when he would get there would be a quick penetration up the middle, he would get, you know, he would just fall down. So I think that's a part of his game that he absolutely needs a change. But you talk to any Colts fan, I mean, they'll be the first to tell you that Marlon Mack is electric. He is somebody that, you know, Pagano called, quote, a star compared to Jamal Charles, which I don't know why is the generic comp for everybody these days, but whatever. Frank Gore called him a future star. Ballard says he's a starter. I think he's incredibly undervalued right now for fantasy purposes. And I think a lot of people that when you watched an anemic Colts offense, you didn't realize how good he was until he was in the game and ripping off 40 yard plays every other play, given he wasn't averaging, you know, 4 yards per rush or putting up massive counting stats, but he was incredible. In the short amount of time that he had.
What I saw going around on Twitter today were people calling him Marlon Mech.
Well, my comparison is a guy I was high on quite a few years ago. You're probably not going to like this, Funk, but is like Steve Slayton. That's who he kind of reminds me of. A little bit undersized, electric. Slayton obviously had fumbling problems that, you know, landed him out of the league. But I like Mac. I think he's undervalued as well, but that's kind of my comp. I wouldn't go as far as Jamal Charles because when he first came in the league, that guy was something else.
The size aspect of it, would you consider Todd Gurley small?
It doesn't look small. Maybe it's the uniforms. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, he's the same BMI, same height, same weight as Todd Gurley. So everybody calls him skinnier, an upright runner, you know, it's just bullshit. People don't, I don't really buy into it in that sense. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was more too. I'm looking at Pro Football Reference as 2 inches shorter and 10 pounds lighter than Gurley.
On Player Profiler, check it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I was looking up Slayton at the time and I jumped to Gurley because Slayton's 20 pounds less than Marlon Mack listed on Pro. Slayton was 195.
I'm kind of just.
10, so he was super small for the position.
Yeah.
What do you make of, I mean, I heard the Colts when the preseason had all started and they were saying, oh, we're looking at possibly taking a running back early. We're going to adjust the running game early in the draft. I mean, is that just them blowing smoke to try to get people to trade up or are they still probably looking to address it? Because, I mean, if they think Mac is the feature back, I mean, that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement if they're saying we're going to go early with running back.
Well, they did just address it.
Oh, Christine Michael. See, Mike.
Now, I don't think See, when they said that initially, I kind of go the opposite of whatever GMs are saying in this current phase of drafting. Like, I think the politics aspect of it, they would say that they wanted Barkley, but they intended to go quarterback. That's what my worry was. But no, I think from what Ballard has said, he talks about winning at the point of attack and pass rush. So I think their guys are either Nelson or Chubb at this point. I don't think Barkley will make it all the way down to them at six, but personally, I think they will add on another guy. I don't think Mac is the sole proprietor of that run game. But I could see him with the Tevin Coleman plus role moving forward.
Two guys to talk about underperformers, two guys that I didn't have like super high hopes for, but guys I thought for fantasy would at least have a little production. I've always been a Kamar Aiken fan, so I thought when they signed him that was a good pickup. And then with Moncrief going down, I was like, oh, well, now it's T.Y. and Aiken. And Aiken seemed like he never got on the field or they didn't use him at all. And then Josh Ferguson has just been a massive disappointment.
Yeah, both of which I thought were great additions. I think Ferguson was interesting for me because with Gore, I thought, oh, you know, you'll have your satellite back with kind of your traditional, you know, pounder. But that never really happened. But both guys struggled with injuries, Moncrief included. So it's, you know, I think the Colts were just decimated with injuries and decimated with a lack of talent.
Yeah, I can't believe you brought Josh Ferguson up. I bought into that shit hook, line, and sinker. There you go with fucking Frank Gore. And
I've got tons of him. I've got more Josh Ferguson than anybody in the world.
That kind of segues in. Is there any sleepers you're looking forward to next season on the Colts?
It's so hard at this point, man, because they're really moving slow in free agency. So by the time this airs, I fully expect it to be outdated, whatever I say, because I think the Ebron addition is very interesting for me. I don't think they convince Eric Ebron to come in if he's not convinced that they're going to use him correctly. That's something that I know that he kind of alluded to being frustrated with how he was used in Detroit. He's not this Jack Doyle type receiver that I think Detroit wanted him to be. So I think they're going to use him more downfield, like how he won in college, which would be incredibly enticing. So I would consider buying into him pretty cheaply. I know I just got him in a free agent auction for like $3, and that, I'll pay that every time.
Jeremy, I feel like you're talking directly to me.
Here we go.
Not a human being that likes Eric Ebron more than me and his mother, and maybe his wife. I think he has kids. He's probably married. But I love him in this offense, and I agree. With Jack Doyle there, it lets him be free off the line and run down the seam and just beat up on linebackers and safeties, which is what he did in college, and it's more to his strengths. He was not used correctly in Detroit, and I hope what you're saying is accurate, that they told him, listen, we know what you're good at, you know, and we're going to put you in those positions. And I think, you know, having Frank right there certainly going to help that because he runs a very tight end friendly offense. So
And their OC is the receivers coach from
San Diego
or LA, whichever. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to use him in the passing game. I really do. And I wouldn't be surprised if they bump him out to slot. Because I'm not convinced that Chester Rogers is going to be a factor at all. He's currently the wide receiver 2 on the roster. So I wouldn't be surprised if they add a guy like a Jordan Matthews or a Cam Meredith, something like that, which I would lose my mind over. Or go after somebody like a Cortland Sutton or a DJ Moore in the second, third rounds.
When you say lose your mind, you mean good or bad with Jordan
good.
Matthews?
Good. Oh, okay. Good. All right. I'm a big
fan. I think Jordan Matthews is underrated. He's a decent slot guy. He just doesn't belong on a boundary. And, you know, I saw Cam Meredith is, you know, I forget who he met with this last week. It just seems like the Bears aren't really trying to keep him that hard. So he may be available as well. But, you know, I think Matthews will be a good addition in the slot. for the Colts as well. Good name.
Well, kind of switching gears here. There's a lot of needs on the draft board, but offensively, because we are a fantasy-centric show, what do you think are the most important positions right now for the Colts, and who do you see kind of, or who do you want to see come to Indianapolis?
I think it's just going to be O-line heavy, to be completely honest. That's kind of what their signals have been in free agency. They brought in a lot of O-linemen. They just re-signed Jack Mehort, who played all right. I mean, he got an okay PFF grade, but nothing special, but certainly better than what they've had in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in a Quentin Nelson in the first round and go add weapons around Luck. But I honestly believe that they're going to probably be more defense-focused here again. So.
Yeah, it's funny. You said Chubb and Nelson a little earlier, and they were the two names I'd written down. I go, if they take anyone else at six, I'll be shocked. They're either going D-end or they're going guard with Nelson. I mean,
unless they really love Denzel Ward, who I've heard is kind of climbing up the draft board really quick. I think he could be a really good cornerback for them, and that's a huge position in need right now. We have like maybe two like NFL quality corners and all throughout the whole roster. So
Rashawn Melvin's gone, right? He signed with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear about that story? Like how he was upset that the Colts didn't extend him throughout the season. So he wouldn't even like allow the Colts to match the offer that the Raiders sent him. It's ridiculous.
The team that gave him a shot. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. They were really, he was kind of butthurt about it. So
yeah.
He's a good player,
but couldn't you get Ward a little later? Because I heard Ballard say something about he wanted to stay in kind of that top tier because he wanted one of those difference maker guys. And I think he was insinuating, or at least a lot of people were insinuating, that he didn't want to make a deal with the Bills to have to go down like 12.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get outside of that top 10.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know. I've been seeing Ward creep up into the top 5 picks.
Yeah.
It honestly, I think those are the two guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop down to the Bills if Chubb and Ward are gone. I just think that they're going to aim to build the defense first. There's just nobody in free agency right now who they're even targeting on defense, and that's such a big need for us. It's we don't have any playmakers at all. So
I like your
five picks are going to be quarterbacks. Like in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the teams that are sitting there or trades, that four of the first five picks are going to be quarterbacks. So they're going to be looking – they might be looking at Chubb and Nelson, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, linemen aren't the sexiest pick, but as a Cowboys fan, that's what – it's a good, solid core to build around. Free agency, that is almost, gone and passed. It's a frenzy, but it's still going on. Are you happy with what the Colts have been doing?
Yes. So they're not bringing anybody in really. But it's kind of how Ballard has explained it. As they're not looking to give anybody guaranteed money outside the second year. And they've set price points for each player, and they're not willing to go above that. So he's looking and operating as, they're not willing to overspend, which I think a lot of teams are at this point. Long term, I think it's great. Short term, it sucks because, you don't even, we had the opportunity to grab some really incredible talent and really help out the team immediately. But, I think some of the signings that they've had, specifically Slauson, I think is, a decent guard. Bringing in the guy from Last Chance U, I forget his name, DN from Oakland. I'm gonna butcher it even if I try. So,
Danico Autry.
Autry, thank you. Yeah, I think he's a good young talent and a rotational player, but we don't have depth and we don't have talent, so. we have Andrew Luck. That's about it. So, and maybe Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton. So
don't forget. That defense going to be worse than last year? I mean, that defense was tough to watch last year, and not that it's talent, but Bostic and Mingo are gone. Melvin's gone. I mean, yeah, you get Hooker back, but, man, there's not a lot really to talk about on that defense.
Well, they're switching schemes up from kind of a hybrid. Like, they ran a 3-4 last year to a traditional zone, prevent kind of feel like how they did in the Manning era. I think that'll play more into what they're trying to do and what Ballard's good at drafting, which is just athletic freaks and high upside players. With that in mind, I think they're going to drop down either Clayton Gathers or I can't remember his name right now, 41. Anyway, they drop down a strong safety into the Will linebacker spot to have that.
Matthias kind of Farley.
Farley, thank you, yeah. I could see that, and I think they're a lot better on defense than they are on offense, to be completely honest.
Oof. Listen, we buried the lead, too. We haven't even talked about Ryan Grant and his clearly bum ankle on his one-year $5 million deal.
Dirty was that? Was that not that was worse than Josh McDaniels, in my opinion. Like, there's been some egregious greed going on, and, don't even get me started.
When we all saw that contract, weren't we like, nah, something wrong here. They added a number. There's no way that these are the real numbers for Ryan Grant.
Yeah, well, I think they panicked. Yeah,
he still would have been the best receiver on Baltimore.
Yeah,
that's the shitty part. They had to overpay.
Yeah. Well, I hate to ask you this question, but where do you think they finish next year?
I think they would. I don't know. I think they'll probably be the last in their division, but I don't think they're the worst team. I think they're an 8-8 team, even with Luck. I think Luck buys them 8-10 wins easy. I mean, even last year, we were pretty competitive in most games. And I think Luck is just that good. That's kind of how it's been for us the last 4 years with Luck. So, I think it's going to rest heavily on his shoulders and his health.
Yeah, I was thinking, take Luck out of it. This is like a 4-win team. Luck's probably good for 4-5 wins, but they are, I think they're clearly right now the worst team in the South. So it's like even Luck, like almost exactly what you said, Luck bumps him up to 8 wins, but that's still going to be last place probably. The other three probably all squeeze into the playoffs next year.
It's ironic you said it's on Luck's shoulders as to whether they're better or not. That's the case. I mean, the Texans were 4-12 last year as well, and that went off the rails when Deshaun Watson went around. That division's gotten like sneakily competitive, and I don't think it was that for a long time with Jacksonville obviously on top right now, and the Titans as a playoff team. So it presents as a difficult challenge. I think they're going to walk in at 8-8, 7-9. Space because Luck can win you some games, but I still think there's a lot of holes and there's going to be some growing pains in Reich's first year.
Did we lose Jeremy?
Listen, I'm staring at Ray Lewis. I'm pretty sure praying on the ground.
I don't know if he just turned his camera off or we lost him. I heard him say, "Oh shit!" and some static, and then
that's Baltimore Ravens right there. Isn't that called sacrilege?
I don't know what that is.
Isn't that where the Ravens were, the Colts?
Well, we kind of needed them to close out real quick.
There he is.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, okay, I have to ask you a question when you pause out, and you just did it again. You still there, bud?
Yeah.
I just saw a picture, I'm pretty sure, of Ray Lewis praying on the ground as your Gmail screensaver. You're going to have to explain yourself.
Dude, I love Ray Lewis. Okay. I'm the biggest Ray Lewis fan. And virulently defend him and his murder charges. So if you want a good debate, we can go for it. But it's not going to end pretty. I'm just going to – I'll break this phone. It'll be bad. I don't know.
We don't want that.
That's a mall for avoiding that. I was thinking more of the Baltimore Ravens. Weren't they the old Colts?
They were. No, I just love Ray Lewis, man. I don't know. I played linebacker in high school, and I don't know. He was always my favorite player growing up. So,
right. Can you do the dance?
That's kind
of. I can't. The squirrel? Oh, I can squirrel with the best of them.
Nice.
I'll Travis May sometime. And I'll make you'll have to make a GIF out of it.
So I know there's some a certain guy that we wanted to talk about. He was kind of like a free agent coach for the offseason, Walker. You want to start?
Listen, I'm more pissed that Frank Reich ended up getting poached from us because of fucking Josh McAsshole. But that's a that's the Eagles bias in me. I mean, I'll let the Colts fan talk about how much they hate Josh McDaniels and how he kind of left him high and dry. I think he actually ended up with a better coach, to be totally honest with you. I mean, McDaniels looked out of his depth, in previous stints and, ran back to Bill Belichick's arms as quickly as he could, when they gave him a couple more dollars and probably some quote-unquote guarantee he'll be the head coach in 2 years. But, just dirty.
Yeah. I think where I'm most frustrated is for, Eberflus, the defensive coordinator. Somewhere, and almost got fired. So I think the integrity of the organization is probably the only thing that really helped to prevent this from being something terrible. But as far as McDaniels goes, I've never liked that organization. Whether it be jealousy, that's a whole nother ball game. But I just think. I'm somebody that's puts a lot of weight on integrity. I think it just was a really shitty move to do to somebody, due to a city that, but I understand it. I mean, at the same time, if I'm put in that situation and if it really was about his family, if he really did want to stay and be a part of the Patriots, I get that. But just be man enough to not take the fucking job first.
Don't fucking interview. You already been down that path once. Just don't even interview. I'm cool. I'm just going to stay here and video C. Decline the interview.
Yeah.
If there's even a hesitation. I mean, clearly he was never all in. And like you said, just sticking all those coaches that signed contracts and, good for the Colts. And I think Eberflus is an up-and-coming DC. I know he's a linebackers coach for the Cowboys. So I think it's the worst thing that ever happened to that defense. But, just so many dominoes. It's not just him. And it's just he's burned. He better get the head coaching gig with the Patriots.
I do have to say, as somebody I loved Frank Reich beforehand. Midseason, I was tweeting out that Frank Reich's coming to Indianapolis. I just wanted it so bad. So I ended up celebrating a lot more hearing Frank Reich was coming, just because of his story and being a high character guy, ex-quarterback. I just think he's gonna be a really good fit for kind of the culture of Indiana and the culture that's needed to surround Jim Irsay and kind of pad that situation. So,
well, that kind of sums it up. But did you ever think there was a day when the Jags would surpass the Colts in the AFC South?
Yeah, no, for real. I do. When they drafted Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey back to back, I was like, fuck, they've arrived.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Well, you know what's crazy about the NFL is when we're so down on a team, they usually end up freaking surprising us and somehow getting shit done. So I'm not saying that's the case with the Colts, but hey, man, the best of luck to you. I mean, I'm not trying to down talk your Colts. I've always had kind of a heart for them. Whenever Peyton was playing for them, they're not on my hate list, that's for sure. So I'm not cheering against them by any means. What about you, John?
As we've been talking and looking at the roster, I have so many Colts on fantasy teams. I didn't even realize it till we started talking about it. So I guess I'm invested. I need them to do well. Whether I want it or not, I need it to have some fantasy success.
Yeah. Walker? Well, he's just a freaking Eagles fan. We don't need to ask him shit.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, hey, Funk, we'll have you on and once the season gets rolling, and maybe we'll do some of that injury stuff.
Again. Yeah, man, that'd be great. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on, having me come on and talk a little bit about the Colts. I feel like I don't get to do that very often, so
hey, why don't you tell the people where they can find your stuff?
You don't want to read my stuff. you can find it at @DLF_Deuce on Twitter.
Listen, that's better. Go read his stuff. It's deep. It's not this topical shit I write about. And, there's a lot more intelligent.
If you don't already know him, and he won't say it because he's too humble, but Jeremy is the expert, the injury expert among the fantasy community, period. There's nobody even a close second. He's going to deny it and be humble, but he's full of shit.
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
Exactly. See?
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Funk, we appreciate you coming on, buddy. Thanks for talking Colts with us, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for myself, Andrew Burke, John DeBari, Matt Walker, and our guests for the second time. Also, remember we have that secret third episode. Jeremy Funk, thanks for being on again. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out.
Well, now we have to know.
It's one of my wife's angry orchard parts of in the house, and I don't want to fuck it up.
It's a wine cooler. Yeah, it's got 6% alcohol. Would you peel the label off of it so we wouldn't see it?